You say you think the people of Taiwan, whatever they want. And it seems to me that the people of Taiwan want independence. So I'm right with you there, brother. Independence for Taiwan.
I think one nation, two systems.
One nation, two systems?
He's repeating the official policies of the United States government.
Like,
you had it all backwards. Yeah, Hassan's actually an imperialist shill. Because that's Anthony Blinken's statement. So what's going on, huh? What is he, a tanky? Or is he a neoliberal imperialist?
What, Dan, you seem to think that the Ukraine war is not something America should get involved in.
When did I ever say that?
Ethan's just firing on all sides right now. I kind of feel like no one else is in on the bit. Like, I feel like Ethan is doing what Ethan always does, which is intentionally shit disturbing. And everyone's like, whoa, dude, no, no, no. So here's the thing. A whole bunch of stuff happened, both to me and just in general. And so I was aware that this big event had occurred on the internet, but I haven't watched it yet. I'm guessing all of you have. Don't give me the spoilers. But I did see some headlines, especially amongst some of the neoliberal channels, the liberal channels, you know, Destiny. I saw there was like three videos about how Hassan and Ethan were fighting and how Ethan destroyed him. And he is now the debate lord of debate lords or something. And I haven't watched the video, so I'm actually just being very makeup-y in what I'm saying right now. There's also Keffels put out a video, Hassan is a tanky scumbag or something like that, and other people were saying that Hassan has gone full tanky. I think I'm immune to a lot of this conversation. I'll tell you why. Because I have made the video, the official video, the BreadTube video. Yes, you've heard of that secret CIA-backed organization of BreadTube on tankies. You want to watch it, and here's a shameless plug. Go to youtube.com/theSurfsTV and then scroll down, and then you'll find that video that I did on a whole bunch of the tanky wars that were going on back in the day when, the tankies were coming pretty hard at me, and I was like, y'all are a weird group of people. Unusual, right? Like, it's hard to explain tankies to regular people in everyday life, in normies, right? But I'm like, essentially it's people doing, like, apologia for some aspects of, you know, authoritarian regimes. Like, if you want to have like a nuanced discussion about how, say, revolutions in both the USSR and in China have done both negative and positive things, and while some of the negative things are very horrifying and large scale, as is lifting large vast amounts of people out of economic poverty, but also rapid industrialization does result in a lot of mass death, and then if that is combined with famines, it can result in massive starvations and stuff like that. So like that is the conversations I'd prefer to have. But if you're just like, Stalin did no wrong, Stalin did no wrong, and then you're like, okay, well, this is kind of like a crew of people on the internet that kind of, you know, I feel like y'all want to be edgy, but y'all want to be edgy in a different way. You know, like, you're not necessarily a bunch of white people dropping N-words, you know, but you are kind of doing your whole kind of, like, you don't like the gays either, and you also think that, like, land back is some kind of weird corporate thing that's also really weird, and you all seem a little bit racist. The tankies do seem sometimes a little bit hardcore, but then they'll just randomly be, like, you know, unconditional support for, like, North Korea, and you just odd group of folk, the online tankies they are. But a lot of people also get falsely smeared by as tankies all the time. If you have any kind of, you know, non-sometimes Western-centered opinion on something, if it's non-US imperial core opinion on something, sometimes people are just like, oh, well, you're a fucking tanky. Hey, he said a thing about China that wasn't negative. Tanky. It's like, well, you're not allowed to say anything about China at all, ever? You can't say a single positive thing that country has accomplished in any way, shape, or form, or you're a tanky. That seems silly. Now we're just kind of like losing all meaning from this word, right? I will say this too. This is going to be I think Canadian American thing. Canadians really don't debate what Taiwan should do anywhere near as much as I see Americans doing that. It's much less of a priority. Don't get me wrong. Canada, as in all things, is both boring and deeply, deeply craven. And they do whatever Daddy America wants at any given time, ultimately, within some reason. But for the most part, they're usually down for the piggyback and down for the ride and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, if America comes out and it's like, Taiwan is an independent nation and we're ready to go to war to secure it against the powers of China, then Canada will be like, and we support you. issue in a multitude of ways. Maybe if it's politically not popular to put boots on the ground, I'll say that we support you in spirit and we'll send to you some weapons because we'll make a bunch of weapons up here in Canada. And then there we go. Yeah, we're allies and good buds. Let's keep doing the trades. So, yeah, don't get me wrong. They would most likely, a liberal or conservative government would fall in line. Both of them seem to really want war with China. They're big on that as well. But I don't also think there's going to be a war with China immediately, mostly due to win this one, neoliberals, mostly due to neoliberal economic policy that is, in fact, making two nations heavily dependent on one another in terms of trade that usually can, result in, if there is a war, it's going to be a cold war. It's not going to be a direct conflict. It's going to be a whole bunch of strange proxy wars in which we're going to both supply and give other factions amounts of weaponry and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's what I heard prior to this.
Against China?
He wants to, fight against China, but he also kind of wants to, leave Taiwan to China. It's like very weird. He has like a very weird foreign policy perspective on it.
Right.
The obviously xenophobic anti-Chinese perspective is shared commonly by the entire intelligence community, our State Department. Obviously it's American policy, but the whole leave Taiwan or first leave Taiwan alone and then give them all guns. Make Taiwan like America, where every person in Taiwan has a weapon.
How do we feel about Taiwan, Hassan? China or not
Taiwan?
China? Is it China or not China?
That's the American...
What's a tanky? Well, it depends who's using the term, right? But I'd say as a blanket statement derogatory, usually people on the internet who do apologia for the USSR, for Stalin, for everything, right? The Stalin did nothing wrong. The gulags were based, or gulags were based kind of stuff. That's usually what I associate with tankies. But there's also a section of the internet, especially liberals, where anything to the left of them, they call tanky, right? Unless you're doing complete and utter support for every single thing the United States does in all its endeavors, then fucking tanky. Oh, tanky ass take. Oh, fucking tankies.
Policy. Whatever the American policy is. Whatever the American perspective is.
What's your opinion? You really won't say?
No, I'm saying it. It's one country, two systems, you know?
No, it's not. It's two different countries.
Really?
Taiwan and China.
Is that according to American foreign policy?
No, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? Taiwan independent?
My opinion.
I do like the music. Come on. They're having fun with it, all right? They still seem frenzies.
And on Taiwan is that Taiwan is the Chinese concept of Taiwan should remain in the hands of the people in Taiwan who
therefore it's independent.
Who, for the record, for the most part, just believe to not disrupt the ongoing relations with
China.
Why
are you being so carefully footed around this?
Because I know that there's going to be a subreddit. Issue. There's going to be a subreddit post with a million fucking comments being Hassan wants everyone in Taiwan to be killed because he loves China. He's a Xi Jinping.
That's
stooge.
What I heard.
I mean, he's not wrong. I bet if I went on Reddit right now, Hassan is a tanky is probably going to be trending in a couple parts, couple corners.
It's already over. You asked me that question, it in jest, and it's going to already
No,
go
I
there.
Was genuinely curious what you think about it.
I guess I'm going to have to give opinions on this, right? Yeah. Right after a word from our sponsor. Are you having trouble having movements? Do you have harder than normal stools? Well, perhaps it's time for you to go a little bit soft. That's right. I have a product just for you. It's called Caffe. Yeah, and this is Lance brand coffee, the finest of coffees. It'll move right through you. That's actually not bad for generic brand. Yeah. In terms of my idea of imperialism and my kind of guiding star when it comes to a lot of this stuff is that I usually like to listen to what exactly the people of an area, region, and or nation state say. And when I look at poll after poll after poll after poll when it comes to Taiwan, it seems like the people there overwhelmingly still want the status quo, as in not to rock the boat, as in they probably don't want two powerful nations, the United States and China, constantly trying to determine what they're going to be doing next because those two nations could potentially go to war with each other at any given time. Seems like they're a lot more, can you fuck off and not rock the boat, please? Can we stop doing this thing over and over and over and over? We understand it's complex. It is an unusual situation for the U.S. both to be using us as a military base and filling us with weaponry. And also, we are technically considered part of Greater China. And that is recognized by the UN, the U.S. of A. At the same time, it's weird. We know it's unusual. But at the same time, let's do a poll. That's what the results are in. And I kind of feel like a lot of people should probably be respecting what the people of the nation itself want, rather than to consistently debate what they want their own geopolitics to kind of look like. And also, I will add this. It seems like a lot of people who really, really get intense for, you know, wanting to liberate Taiwan immediately and looking for Taiwanese independence as of right now, as an American, by the way, even as an American who might not have, direct lineage or family in this conflict or anything. But I do want to say this, that, they have to be liberated at all costs kind of stuff. I don't see as much local support for things like land back. I don't normally, because like you see, there's a lot of struggles in which there are both sovereign nations, and there's a lot of documentation that has been agreed upon with sovereign nations, for example, that has been also agreed upon in courts. And then if you look to Canada, there's been victories at the Supreme Court of Canada level that have agreed, yes, in fact, this actually belongs to these people. This is a sovereign nation. Here's a land back. And that's something that domestically I certainly could work towards and help and focus and try to bring attention to, right? A similar, if you will, call for, let's say, autonomy. The autonomy of a nation state. And I know it seems complex and weird, and a lot of people get a little bit confused because they're like, yeah, but you can't just have that. It's already inside the country. Canada's going to look all weird if you have a whole bunch of just like nation states inside of a nation state, right? Just got to keep it whole. But again, that's kind of one of my perspectives on this, is that when I see polls by the Taiwanese people, it seems like the de facto situation is what they want there, right?
I think that overall it's contemporary history is complex. At the end of the day, if the Taiwanese citizens would ever put this up for a vote and we're like, we want to fucking be an independent nation, it's up to them. You know what
Haven't
I mean?
They already
you
can't. Done that?
No,
there's
no.
No, what Hassan said is true from everything I've read. The most people in Taiwan nowadays support just keeping the status quo, like the yeah. kind of.
But their
strategic ambiguity.
The overwhelming majority's consensus opinion is that they don't want to disrupt relations with China, and they also, like, obviously, if it was
the pro-independent DPPs lead in the presidential election, well, then in the future we could see another poll that is released and another party that is elected, and if that's what the will of the people becomes, that's what the will of the people becomes, both publicly. I'm saying, as of right now, and in terms of every single time I see the populace of that nation polled, that is the actual reality.
The situation between, like, full-blown independence versus, like, becoming a Chinese state.
And one of the things that like really fucks with me in the middle of this debate is like, who the fuck is going to suffer if there was an actual direct conflict between, you know, both America supported Taiwanese troops and Chinese soldiers? It's going to be a lot of people in that nation dying, you know, in the midst of all of this. I think it's one of the big reasons why you do see polls that are consistently saying that yes, they want to remain de facto as it is,
becoming a part of the Chinese state.
Do the people of Taiwan like pay taxes in China? Like, do they vote? And
I don't know the exact details of that.
Do they have like travel status in China?
But the thing is, like, as far as Chinese Taiwanese relations goes, like the original inception of the country is
Taiwan
is a fascist dictatorship that America recognized as the real China until Richard Nixon normalized relations with China. And that's where they implemented the, they call it strategic ambiguity, which I call lying.
Hold on. This says that the current administration of Taiwan maintains that Taiwan is already an independent country.
Yes.
This does not have to push for any sort of formal independence.
There are, that's because they don't want to do like a full blown.
Exactly.
They don't want to disrupt the status quo. That's why they're saying that.
For sure. They don't want to be invaded by China.
They want autonomy while simultaneously being under the Chinese banner, according
to
international.
They want independence, but they just don't want to be like attacked by China militarily.
Well, that's part of it for sure. So you understand how Taiwan was developed as
yes.
a nation state, right? Like, so Mao purged and defeated the counter-revolutionary forces. They like Taiwan
As Taiwan election heats up, young voters flock to third-party candidates. A summer campaign heats up ahead of Taiwan's January 2024 presidential elections. A competitive three-way race is taking shape, which an analysis say could make this ballot different from previous ones, where relations with the island's big neighbor China typically cast a long shadow over other campaign trail issues. Youth voters could also play a more crucial role. This election may not be straightforward referendum on China politics as it used to be. Taiwan has had three peaceful transitions of power since holding its first presidential election in 1996. Every race since then, the issue of building closer ties with China or consolidating Taiwan's own identity and sovereignty remains a key focus. And in this election, the issue is still there. The ruling Democratic Progressive Party has been highlighting the importance of safeguarding Taiwan's democracy and reducing China's economic influence on Taiwan, while the China-friendly opposition party, Kuomintang, has long advocated for closer economic ties to Beijing. However, to distance itself from the China factor, a third party, the Taiwan People's Party, has focused its campaign on the agenda of ending political division in Taiwan. If the DPP wins the election, the political dialogue between the two sides of the Taiwan Strait will remain very difficult. But with the KMT government in power, cross-strait economic and trade relationships will most likely improve. However, Sung thinks that if a third-party candidate can prove himself to be a viable option, it may suggest that there is a desire at the grassroots level to see a presidential election in Taiwan be more than just a referendum on political parties' China policy.
Has been a larger part of like China historically, and the original Taiwanese claim was that the entire mainland China belonged to what is now known as Taiwan. And that was the American foreign policy position as well, because, you know, China was communist and Taiwan was a fascist military dictatorship. So they were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to completely ignore China until Nixon normalized relations with China. And then Taiwan became a democratic country, of course. With still
Anthony Blinken stated, we remain committed to our one China policy with three communiques, the Taiwan Relations Act, the Six Assurances. We do not support Taiwanese independence. We made that clear. We've made that clear that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo by either side. Anthony Blinken, 2022. That seems pretty clear.
Reactionary opinions overall, but like that's gone away in recent years. I think the younger generations have a different perspective on the matter. But overall, like, historically speaking, Taiwan and China being the same country, it has been around for much longer than, like, as Elon Musk said, Hawaii being an American state. Much, much longer.
It's Taiwan is already independent. That's what I'm saying. People don't want a formal declaration just because they don't want a fucking war. But they're not wanting to be Hong Kong and be consumed by the Chinese party.
They don't want to be Hong Kong? What happened in Hong Kong?
Am I saying the right place?
No, you are
independent. Yeah, and then they got fucking eaten.
They were not independent.
Well, they had some rights. They're less independent than Taiwan.
Just 13-12. Thank you very much for the prime. Appreciate you.
Are you saying the people of Hong Kong did not want to be?
There were certainly people that did not want to be a part of China. Absolutely. That is 100% correct.
Most of them.
A lot of
people there took a lot of pride in being.
A lot of people enjoyed having Western civil liberties while simultaneously like being in a unique position. But now that China already does regular trade with the rest of the world, because like at a time in.
Hey, Grizzler Guy, thank you very much for the 200 biddies. Appreciate
like the
you.
90s, Hong Kong was...
Ethan isn't that rich? No, Ethan's extremely rich. What are you talking about?
Seen as like this prosperous middle ground. But since the 2000s, like because of an insane amount of development and insane trade relations with the rest of the planet, there are tier one cities that are even larger and...
He's Engels rich.
and have more economic activity than Hong Kong in and of itself. And there was always a timeline where Hong Kong was going to be given back to China.
Now, thanks to Lance and the mods, I'm slowly radicalizing my partner via these streams. Hell yeah. Nice.
China. They just accelerated it by like two decades, if I'm not mistaken. Because that was a lease on Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So the people of Hong Kong, there were certainly a lot of people in Hong Kong that did not want
regardless
to be a part
of the
Chinese state. But overall, if you look at the situation of Hong Kong right now, it's like they claimed that it was going to be devastating, and that has not happened.
What I would really recommend to people, that was a really good perspective for me from this is a leftist podcast, you know, run by Robert Evans that I plugged way too much for free, by the way. Robert, give me some fucking money. I've plugged your podcast so many times. But anyways, Robert Evans podcast. They've got a couple episodes on Taiwan and the history of it. And a lot of, obviously, I would say authoritarian leftists do have a blind side for it because they've kind of their worldview. Right. This is not Hassan's, by the way. This is fucking the Jackson Hinkles, the Caleb Maupins, the fucking the Spanky Tankies, all those kind of people. They've got this idea that America bad, China good. And that's basically how they govern a lot of how they see the world and their foreign policy. Right. It's just reducing everything to those kind of things. And in this podcast, it does go into a very long history about how this is, again, you know, an area that had indigenous peoples. Those indigenous peoples were obviously decimated by the Han Chinese and their regime. Before becoming, after that, a Dutch colony, being completely colonized and once again absolutely devastated a lot of the local population and the indigenous peoples, and subsequently a lot of the horrifying things that were done by, you know, Chinese dynasties to the local people of that island. In the same regard, you would look towards any other form of colonization, the same thing with like the colonization of the North American countries, stuff like that. And that part of it is never really explained when you start at this timeline that we do now, which is just like America bad, China good, or China bad, America good, whatever perspective you're trying to just like, you know, this is basically my guiding compass, is that one country is going to do a really good job of controlling everybody by, you know, putting democracy and freedom into all of our classrooms. The other one is going to do the bad things.
Happen.
Not that we know of, because they can't, they have no freedom of speech anymore.
Okay.
They can't talk. They
that,
lost
that
their
part
right.
Is true. You're right.
What are we going to learn
not,
from them?
I will not.
They have secret prisons,
I
bro.
I do not agree with China's social or civil liberties policies. I do not agree with that at all. That's why I don't live in China. I live in America. However, having said that, you can just...
Taiwan's indigenous people are only 2.4% of the population. Now, it seems to be a very consistent percentage everywhere.
Go to Hong Kong, and you can just go to every part of China pretty much and see for yourself. This is no longer like the North Korea style hermit kingdom where like no information comes out. Like we have
regardless,
we have a shit ton of Chinese people that live in America. And
regardless, bro, it's not
that China.
They had rights. They don't have rights now. They lost a lot of rights. But whatever. I mean, you're this is interesting that you're very soft. You're very soft footed around the issue of China. You love China.
I think China.
If you love China so much, why don't you marry it?
I want to. Again, I don't live there. I choose to live here because of the issues that you.
Interesting play. I didn't see, like, you know, the high school card getting dropped, but it still works. Still just effective today as it was in high school.
You just brought up, which is civil liberties being taken away. No freedom of speech, walled garden internet. Like there are certainly parallels to the American state or the Western world that you there are certainly compared.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like people who want you to fucking hate on the populace of countries basically simply because of bad things that their administrative governments can do. I despise that. And that applies, by the way, to America. Like when people are like fucking American and the imperial war machine of America is committing atrocities globally. I'm like, absolutely it is. And they're like, yeah, fuck Americans. I'm like, wait. Because, like, you know, not all Americans agree with what the imperial war machine of their country is doing at any given time. And, like, I don't know if you've been there, but a lot of Americans are fucking lovely-ass people. And there's a lot of fucking based-ass Americans. I don't get that idea of just being, like, as a single brush, being like, fuck them, you know, kind of thing. But the same thing applies to Chinese people as well. And I've been to China. I've traveled there. And I've met tons of people in that country. And, again, not a lot of them are just unilaterally all in lockstep, being like, oh, yes, we support the CCP and all of its endeavors and stuff. A lot of them, especially younger generations, speak about a whole bunch of different things and ask you a lot of questions. And again, incredible people. It doesn't matter what country you're a part of. It's usually that the ruling class of those countries are also going to dictate large swaths of it. Like China, I'm sorry, it's not a communist country. It is a fucking printing billionaires faster than any other nation on the planet right now. Their economy is going to surpass the United States eventually. It is the fastest growing economy in the world for a reason. And then they are just a capitalist juggernaut, right? So I don't like people who are just unilaterally going to be like, China bad, everything that is done bad. And then it's like, well, so we can't take any fucking lessons from some of the things that it's accomplished? What about like lifting millions and millions of people out of poverty? And then also they've done a lot of really fucked up shit too that I disagree with. I don't agree with having an authoritarian clampdown on the limits to which people can understand the world. Like, it's fucked up. It's Black Mirror shit to me to be in a country, and I tested this, where you cannot learn about what happened at Tiananmen Square. That's very scary. It's dystopian almost, right? And that is the reality. There is no way, unless you're going off into VPNs and stuff like that, but on the general internet of the country, you cannot really directly learn what happened there. They have a really good censorship policy over that. That shit's scary. That shit is, I don't want that, you know, I want to be able to teach history. I want to be able to teach about authoritarianism. I want to be able to teach about clampdowns on civil disobedience. That is important to me as well. So there's fucked up shit, bad shit. But like any single time someone in any respect is just slightly like, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Also, by the way, high-speed trains are good and cool. And maybe America should have more high-speed rails. You know, they're kind of really kicking her ass in that one. So train's good, authoritarian clampdowns on history bad, right?
Comparisons that you could make.
Sounds like you're soft on China, Lance. Right? And now, why don't you marry it, Lance? What? Yeah, you going homo for China? What's going on here?
But overall, that kind of mechanism of control is one that I do not appreciate personally, which is why I choose to live here. But as far as like cruelty, oppression, like what you're talking about with respect to Hong Kong, the promises that Western media overall made about like how China was going to crush Hong Kong under its like ruthless, oppressive thumb has not happened.
Sure, I don't think that was the point. I think the point was just that there's whoever was, you know, vocal about wanting to maintain certain rights in Hong Kong was probably thrown in a secret prison and never heard from again.
I mean, certainly there was political dissidents are definitely
not the
political
best.
Dissidents are definitely like
taken out back.
They're not killed or anything, but even then it's like completely
they
unacceptable.
They take a walk and you know, and they go for a beer and they don't come back.
They're not good on that stuff.
I was gonna say, like, I would never get on the other side of that one. I would be like, yeah, you're totally right. That's all there is to say about it. It really fucks if there's suddenly a massive crackdown and there was a bunch of student protests and that was happening because, again, there's an authoritarian government trying to crack down on the elements of freedom of speech, democracy, stuff like that. Yeah, you could fully be like, yeah, that's fucked.
100%.
Well, anyway, I was just curious. I didn't mean to open a can of worms, but you say you think the people of Taiwan, whatever they want. And it seems to me that the people of Taiwan want independence. So I'm right with you there, brother. Independence for Taiwan.
I think one nation, two systems.
One nation, two systems?
He's repeating the official policies of the United States government.
Like,
you had it all backwards. Yeah, Hassan's actually an imperialist shill because that's Anthony Blinken's statement. So what's going on, huh? What is he, a tanky? Or is he a neoliberal imperialist?
Israel and Palestine.
Oh my god, you don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Come on.
I'm just fine.
Ethan asking all the fucking, you know, very, very tepid, non-controversial topics, getting right to them, you know? The stuff doesn't piss anyone off. Yeah.
Fucking idea. I'm just trying to get you.
that part is like literally, I mean, that is a that's an advocacy in the opposite direction, in my opinion, where
independence for Taiwan. You heard it here from Hassan.
Because remember, like, the overwhelming majority of people living in Taiwan are still Han Chinese.
Holy shit. Mexico is on track right now to elect not only its first female president, but its first Jewish president in 2024. Oh no, America. So much anti-Semitism and so much fucking xenophobic hatred towards Mexico is now going to ramp up. And women hating. Oh no, America. You need to chill. America, chill the fuck out. I already see you frothing at this one, okay? Chill the fuck out. Calm the fuck down. Please.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, despite the fact that it's a separate country, it's still, like, the same people. The language
like
is the same. People will say
Ukraine belongs to Russia for that exact reason.
I don't think Ukraine belongs to Russia because Ukrainian Ukrainian nation state, the Ukrainian nation state project, there are similarities. You're not wrong about that. But the Ukrainian nation state project as a well-defined nation state has always has
and she's going to blame Mexico for the space days.
Much
true.
Longer than like Taiwan being an independent nation state.
So the people's entitlement to freedom.
But you can make a better argument for just Crimea being a separate country
what I'm hearing is that it's just a function of how old their culture is, how entitled they are to freedom.
It's not. I don't think that it's like those two concepts are not the two concepts at play here. Like it's not like entitled to freedom versus entitled to freedom versus what was the other thing that you said?
Well, it just seems like you're talking about like their they have some kind of national heritage or identity.
Well, the thing that I was mentioning there, the reason why I mentioned that is because you were talking about making a comparison between like Israel, Palestine, being the same people. I think makes that kind of, especially existing under the construct of having like one nation state regardless with freedom.
It seems like Ethan's trying to poke at him for some reason, and hopefully he's not becoming a DGG head or something. No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think Ethan is kind of, I don't know, on some level trying to make content. It's kind of the vibe I get, because like he's half joking, half serious in a lot of the things that he's asking. They're using sound effects and stuff too.
Travel in between, it's literally like a mile off the coast.
Yes, content,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Of China, having all of that factors into like whether there's going to be assimilation or not. And there's no need for assimilation even. They have like normal trade relations with Taiwan, you know what I mean? It's like, that's why it's considered to be a delicate political conversation, but one that currently the current system benefits both.
And so if places. China takes military action against Taiwan, as some people speculate may happen.
Yeah, I mean, that would not be good. I don't think that would be good. I think that would be really, really terrifying. It would be disruptive for the entire global economy as
and
well.
Right, but I'm just mean like from whose army are you joining?
That's what I mean. My vote's content brain. I feel this is a content brain.
I'm front line. Are you playing?
I'm fucking moving to
Taiwan.
I'm moving to an undisclosed location. I'm moving to an undisclosed location.
I'm on the front.
I'm gonna be on a fucking ship.
Whoever has streaming. The best computer chips, I'm fighting for.
Okay.
I'm a chip boy myself.
Hey, that's going to be an easy, consistent foreign policy to follow. And it'll change over time. It'll always be interesting, you know, depending on how the global economy is working and resource extraction and where we're getting them all. A lot of our lithium is going to play a big role in that as well. So, hey, at least you have a moral compass because you've grounded your axioms. A lot of other people might be like, well, I do have principles rooted in what I find is the most utilitarian approach. What is going to maximize, let's say, the best possible outcomes for the most amount of people? It's like, nah, microchips. Like, seriously, who's ever got the best microchips? You are virtuous. You are the cause. You are the holy war, as some might say, as long as you get them microchips. I want the fastest processors available at all times.
If it wasn't for America, China would have some pretty solid chip technology, but America's, like, regularly trying to stop that process. Like, they went to the Netherlands to be like, you can't sell China your chip technology, which is fucking insane, if you ask me.
It's incredible the takes in chat, how many people are like, just the polarization of this topic. It's fucking insane.
Well, of course there's going to be polarization on the topic because the American media has been gearing people to be across the board, like, vicious, no matter what, to any foreign adversary, China being the main foreign adversary now. So people are going to be very passionate in their defense and start saying, we care about the people in Taiwan. You're not talking about the people in Taiwan. You don't care about them.
It's the media. If it weren't for the media's propaganda, people would not be siding with Taiwan.
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. Why the fuck does no one care about Yemen? You know what I mean? Why? Because Saudi Arabia is the one, our ally, Saudi Arabia, is the one doing the genocide in Yemen.
And
you never see people get this passionate about Yemen.
I don't think
people get this passionate about Syria.
I think Taiwan has more relevance to the United States, like in terms of economical and social.
Yeah, that was developed.
Well, that's only natural that people.
Yeah, but that one's kind of sad. You know, we shouldn't be judging our global conflicts on whether or not it benefits us the most, right? It's like, yeah, a really bad thing happening over here too to a lot of people. It's like, yeah, but they're allies.
People would care more about something that affects them more. I don't think Yemen. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I just don't think Yemen affects.
But it's still people. It's still people that are being mercilessly slaughtered, whereas no one is slaughtered in Taiwan in a similar capacity, and yet there are way more passionate. Because
not saying it's
like
right
you
or
said,
wrong. I mean,
it is designed to have this kind of.
And you think that if the only reason people care about Ukraine is because of the media?
Absolutely, 100%.
Nobody would care.
Of course.
Did anybody care about Georgia?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Probably, I don't know.
No.
No one gave a shit about Georgia. That's crazy.
Hold on. Well, I mean, what about in Europe? They seem to care about Ukraine a lot.
It's the similar principle. Media is still media everywhere around the world.
I mean,
it plays
Ukraine
a very significant role in people's lives.
Hold on. Ukraine borders Europe. And I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but Georgia is not really in such a geographically, strategically important location as Ukraine.
Okay.
Well, I'm just explaining why people might care more about Ukraine than Georgia. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying
still
why.
People. It's the people
I'm
that are being ruthlessly
slaughtered. I'm not saying it's not people. I'm just saying, because your theory is that the support for Ukraine and Taiwan is essentially manufactured, that it wouldn't exist. It shouldn't exist.
Outside of the Anglosphere, including Canada, the media is very different. Oh, absolutely. Yes. If you start looking at news sources from other places, their focus and the way that like entire conflicts are positioned is entirely different. That makes perfect sense, though, right? We do live on a rotating marble.
I'm not saying it shouldn't exist. I'm simply stating
that.
I'm simply stating that.
It's manufactured. People only care about it because they've been tricked to caring about it.
It's not tricked, but normal people don't think about foreign policy. Are you saying that you don't think that normal people's opinions about like international?
I mean, he's not wrong. There's definitely a lot of topics where I'll bring it up, and then I'll be like, "Oh, have you been listening about this conflict and what just happened recently here?" And have you been paying attention to the flooding in Libya, for example, and what the remnants of a lot of the NATO intervention actually has left crumbling infrastructures and leading to mass death and stuff? So it's like, what? No, I haven't heard about that. So I saw something about isn't there like a singer who did the bad thing with like a stripper? I can't remember. I don't know. People don't like her as much, but maybe that never happened. I can't. Something like that. Yeah, that's basically I think the last thing I read.
All matters are shaped by what they see on the news and what's prioritized.
I'll give you a better example.
Of course it is.
Hold on, because I'm being double teamed now, so I need to speak.
Okay.
Of course it is, but this implication that you're like. If you say nobody cares about Taiwan or Ukraine because of the media, it implies that, the support for those two countries or care for those two countries is manufactured. That it's really not sincere.
I don't think it's manufactured and that people artificially care for conflicts for the first time. I think it amplifies those stories, and there's no question about that, in the media way more than it does other conflicts. How often are we hearing on a daily basis on what is going on in Palestine in mainstream media? Whereas you will have a daily dose of like Zelensky's arrived here, Zelensky's spoken to so-and-so. Today, the Prime Minister of Canada is meeting with Zelensky. Tomorrow, Joe Biden is meeting with so-and-so. Like there is a consistent, front page headline when it comes to that conflict as compared to other conflicts. And I agree, like the idea of bringing up Yemen is a good point, because like when I try talking to people about Yemen, they oftentimes are just like, what part of that are we involved in? It's like, well, we do provide a lot of military support to Saudi Arabia, and there is one of the largest, if not maybe comparable to Afghanistan, but I think right now it is the largest human rights crisis in terms of children starving on the planet. Yeah, on the planet. And we keep forgetting about it, but that, it's not, that problem isn't going away. That is the largest, like, if we all lives are equal, all lives matter, everyone in the planet has equal value and worth, that's where the most kids are starving, and second might be Afghanistan right now. And then other places that we involve ourselves heavily in also are suffering immensely. Places like Somalia, for example, we could be talking about that entire conflict and the involvement of a whole bunch of different NATO states in this kind of, like, you know, neo-colonial setup that we have. Like, it's a lot of shit, but you often don't, and this is not to diminish any of the suffering and or reality that people should be paying attention to Ukraine. Absolutely, it should be in the media. I'm not disparaging that Ukraine as a story should be in mainstream media. It's more that is the story that you hear about more so than other global conflicts, suffering and strife. There's just, like, there's no question about that.
You jumped to that. Nobody
I'm
said
sorry, no, I am saying, no, that.
He is saying that.
I'm saying that the support for the overwhelming majority of Americans,
yeah,
for any country that
authentic.
Any country that the United States of America has a genuine interest in is manufactured in either direction. It can be manufactured carelessness and inconsideration, like being inconsiderate and ruthlessly violent at certain points, which is the example I was going to use with 9/11 and what we did post 9/11, or it could be manufactured in the other direction where it's like, this is the just war. This is the just war that we have to fight. Like we did in Vietnam originally, when there was need to generate popular support for whatever kind of action America consistently takes. Now,
I'm not denying that propaganda exists.
Yeah,
but I am saying that, like, the comparison of Ukraine to Georgia is not—it's not apples to oranges. That's all I'm saying. It's not.
What do you mean by this?
That Ukraine borders like mainland Russia or Europe.
Okay.
Europe cares a lot about it.
Okay. I would say that it's probably more. I would say that in Europe, there's probably more of a not controversy necessarily, but it's a more divisive issue in I think Europe than it is in America, most likely.
It's also, like, you know, not because, the best because, look, precedent when like tyrants start land grabbing in Europe generally
I agree with you. I think that
I understand why people are don't
completely
like
unjustifiable
Ukraine.
And it's also, even if you're like pro Russia, pro Vladimir Putin, anti NATO, right? Even if you're all of those things, it is a laughably idiotic thing to do, because all you've done is now galvanized NATO support in Europe and justified it, because that was the entire reason for NATO's existence, is to stop the USSR, stop communism from thriving. And obviously, Russia is a very different country than the USSR was, and is no longer ideologically aligned with communism at all. It is a state that Western capitalists basically redesigned and propped up oligarchs, including people like Vladimir Putin. So despite all of that, it's still utilized as a protection.
We need more voices like Arun on the subject, going on talks on big platforms like Hassan. Yeah, you also need people like Hassan to, I guess, like, that's kind of why I like the premise of The Leftovers, is because I think that a lot of the crowd of Ethan's, for example, I mean, a lot of those people came up and grew up with Ethan and H3H3 becoming super famous initially because of a lot of, like, you know, jokes, edgy humor kind of shit, that era of the internet. And now that they've pivoted so much into politics, not just like as of recently, they've been doing this for a long time. Like, back in the day, used to have Jordan Peterson on all the time and stuff like that, amongst other guests. But now that they're actually taking some of it seriously, there is a big benefit to having a lot of ideas for the first time be heard by a large audience who normally might be what people describe as normies, you know, getting some of those ideas into the heads of normies. That being said, yeah, like, I can't say that I'd agree with everything. I know that Ethan is obviously trying to, like, set up a bit of a conflict here, but even then, if someone's talking about Hong Kong, I mean, and I know Hassan disagrees because he's had streams on it, you can straight up, you'd be like, yeah, of course, unilaterally, I don't agree with the suppression of, you know, freedom of speech and then the student protests in that country.
Racket that,
but also I don't think he's said anything so far during the course of this that means that he's like a fucking pinky sympathizer who loves China and is working for the Chinese government to the CCP and all the, like, what
you basically justified its existence of by doing such an unimaginably cruel, inhumane, unjustifiable act, invading Ukraine. So it is it's a strategic blunder, even if you're like pro Russia.
I do think that you're. I just think people are capable of caring about it without.
Well, I mean, I care
being
about
like,
it.
You know,
I care about it.
People
I,
can I, sincerely can care about it, even though, you know, you think it's unfair that people didn't care as much about Georgia. You know, that's my point.
It's not necessarily just not caring about Georgia. My opinion on this is that we as a nation here in America and all around the world are not immune to propaganda.
No.
As a matter of fact, every piece of information that we analyze has a great impact on our decision-making process, and therefore doing a full media blitz on any particular issue is usually going to yield these kinds of results and this kind of support, which without that kind of media blitz would not exist. Does that make sense?
Again, I'm not denying that propaganda exists. Yeah. And that we're all, you know,
yeah,
influent.
Lefty purity testing is ruining the lefty movement. Like, honestly, we should also keep in mind, by the way, this is all online. This is just a bunch of media personalities speaking online, having discussions about a bunch of topics. Obviously, this is a topic that is going to be discussed in the world of leftism, right? Like I said, I think a lot of the what looks like circular firing squads, say, on Twitter on any given day when it comes to the left, that's not what's happening on the ground right now. You're seeing an unbelievable groundswell right now of fucking not only worker solidarity, but people endorsing and agreeing with the fact that unionization efforts should continue to strike and like fucking get better terms and better employment from their fucking owning class. Those are massive victories for the left. Huge ones. If a whole bunch of leftists are online, you know, sparring over random, you know, sometimes culture war shit, that doesn't mean as a whole, like, you know, the leftist movement is suddenly falling apart. I think like a lot of people on the right sometimes like to frame it that way. They like to characterize it as that, like, oh man, have you seen what's going on with the left right now? They're all just like blah blah blah. It's like, well, same thing with all of you right wing personalities. Y'all are fighting each other every other day, right? Fucking Steven Crowder taking shots at fucking, you know, so and so, being backed up by the quartering, going after Tim Pool, who's then fucking going after Michael Knowles, who's going after, like, oh, they're always like fucking, yeah, it's a whole bunch of media personalities fucking slinging rather than uniting. When it comes to like, when it comes down to brass tacks, outside of like some pretty hardcore random gray zone Caleb Maupin tier factions, you're probably going to see a lot of people eventually be like, hey, by the way, probably a good thing if you support unions, probably a good thing if you support strike action, probably a good thing if you want to build up worker power, probably a good thing if you want to help out in local elections, probably a good thing if I want to donate some time, money, or effort to help these local elections and you know, get some victories, shit like that.
And the example I was going to use was our justification for the invasion of Afghanistan and the invasion of Iraq. These were both unjustifiable wars, in my opinion. The war on terror was across the board, wholesale, ruthless, cruel, led to millions of people dying, led to tens of millions of people being destabilized. And we're still living in the rubble of that kind of
right,
cruel and unusual
force.
Action. And it was championed by a majority of the American population, and until like the past like couple of years, where
what does that have to do with Ukraine being invaded by Russia?
Where do you think that kind of attitude came from?
Okay,
where do you think that justification came from? There was $1 billion industry.
Same thing, man. Ukraine was invaded by.
These clowns are not leaders. Well, yes, absolutely. Myself included. I'll throw myself in one of those clowns. Like, media figures are media figures. And if they're not transparent about that, please don't trust them. Someone who is an entertainer on the internet, on a stream with a webcam and some lights, make sure that they're telling you that they are an entertainer on the internet with a webcam and a stream and some lights. Because if they're dangerously tapping into what you are doing right now as part of revolutionary action, that's, yeah, yikes. No. This is, you're watching a guy do a show where he sometimes likes to laugh and entertain you.
I mean,
if you can walk away from it and learn some shit, oof, that's awesome. That's better than other forms.
No, it is exactly the same
and
thing.
It's literally a tyrant grabbing land in Europe.
I agree with what you're saying. My point is,
that propaganda exists. Yeah, I know.
No, my point is that Americans think that they are independent thinkers, and yet they are motivated into believing things no matter what it is. It can be a just cause.
I agree that
it can be a just cause in the situation where you're supporting Ukraine and Ukrainian independence, which is an independent nation state. You know what I mean? It's been an independent nation state in the aftermath of the dissolution of the USSR. It's been an independent nation state. You can't just like turn around and be like, all right, it's mine now. Right. I agree with that. And that it can be seen as a just war, an understandable war. It's not even a war that the Ukrainian people wanted. Right. But having said that, the American support, the full-throated support, is absolutely a...
It doesn't seem like there's full-throated support. There's a lot of people that don't support it. There's a very diverse opinion of
If you looked at polls in the original invasion, the amount of support
seems like there's a lot of conservative people who are like Putin simps. And then there's also a bunch of like lefties, like, and I don't mean that derogatory.
Those aren't real lefties.
Who aren't like... who are like the guy we were speaking to, the communist professor...
Richard Wolf?
Yeah, who's like kind of people like him are also very anti-Ukraine in general.
I don't know. I don't know his entire perspective.
He doesn't seem very
bullish. I don't think you can be pro. If you are offering even critical support to Russia, or not Russia, but like Vladimir Putin in general, I don't think you're doing the right thing.
I don't know what his position is because he didn't really flesh it out.
I think you're lost in the sauce. I think you're lost in the sauce in the sense that.
Me or him?
No. Like anyone that is like, oh no, Vladimir Putin did the right thing. He has to have this.
I don't
like,
think people are
conquest.
Saying that. I think what I hear is like, Ukraine. Zelensky is also, you know, a shit starter, and it's their problem that we shouldn't get involved in.
I don't know. I think there's a lot. There are people crying about Ukraine.
Yeah, well, I mean, so is majority report. Lots of people criticism
or even communists that
the
are
aid
like
programs.
You know, defending.
That's
Vladimir
different than
Putin,
saying that you're
they're
pro-Putin.
Marginal.
What, Dan? You seem to think that the Ukraine war is not something America should get involved
what?
In.
When did I ever say that?
Ethan's just fucking firing on all sides right now. Didn't you say something about, like, you know, you thinking Vladimir Putin looks good with his shirt off or something? I can't remember.
Just based on what you were saying about Georgia.
No, we were having a discussion about how media shapes narratives in the United States. And I was saying that, again, I'm not talking about in Europe, I'm not talking about in the rest of the world. In the United States, the Russian invasion of Georgia was a non-story. Nobody gave a shit here.
But it's different. And it is different. There's difference.
It was a sovereign nation that Russia invaded.
Because it doesn't,
about?
It's not, it doesn't have the same proximity or the same importance within, as Ukraine, I think.
Right. But we're talking past each other. Like that.
I'm not.
Ukraine is more important to the United States strategically. That's why it gets attention. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. But I know people are influenced by the media.
Right, but you were saying you.
Think... I kind of feel like no one else is in on the bit. Like I feel like Ethan is doing what Ethan always does, which is intentionally shit disturbing. And everyone's like, "Whoa, dude! No."
That people, you know,
are allowed
way...
to care about things genuinely.
Nobody's saying you're not allowed to.
I mean,
not allowed to. But Hassan was saying.
What was I saying?
That. It's a manufactured support.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, and Dan,
that is something that the U.S. media does. They manufacture support for U.S. foreign policy.
You were saying I jumped to conclusion.
I'm not saying that all U.S. foreign policy is bad, but I think it is unquestionably true that the U.S. media crafts people's
of course.
Yeah, it crafts the narrative.
So what is the disagreement then? Like, what if maybe I'm not using the appropriate
language.
There's
the implication that support for Ukraine or Taiwan is not authentic.
Right, that you're purely falling for U.S. propaganda. That's not necessarily true.
I do agree with that, yeah.
And then you, Dan, said...
I don't think that
I was generally
true. The examples I use are always like, America has, 800 military bases all around the planet? Our hands in everyone's pockets, right? And there's active conflict happening everywhere around the planet all the time, and the United States is involved in it. If you are not thinking about it, if you're not thinking about something happening specifically, that is because for the most part the media has not covered it. For the most part the media is
all right, I'm over it. Let's move on.
And I think that's I don't want to talk about it anymore. That is deliberate. That is by design.
It's like just not even fun to watch probably at this point.
So is that it? Or do they get back into it now? They get into the hand jobs. Tim Pool outraged again. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I don't think that was as bad as a lot of the internet led me to believe. I think they were actually just having a discussion about a lot of things. I don't need to necessarily agree with all the points raised, but like I don't think that was necessarily like 2 hours of Hassan praising China and telling Ethan that he was an imperialist war pig, at which point Ethan pulled out a gun. It was the most intense moment of both of their lives. Do you enjoy the SERPs but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the SERP Times in podcast form, available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. This show is produced by amazing people like you, and if you want to help us out, please consider donating over at patreon.com/theserfs. The show is made possible thanks to Amazing Fletch, Anna Loves Riley, Ariane McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Doug Cady, Everything Important, Hagbard Celine, Lamedia Panza, Matthew Scarborough, Multimondi, Omni, Peanut Butter Blondie, Political Papi, Quiet 185, Rachel K, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Ruby K, Sir Nickus, Spinach Monster, Stellar Vision, Sebastian Demel, Tech Tink, Trevbot EXE, Words Greenwood, and not to mention all of the amazing and fabulous people you now see before you.